It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We are live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel. We are just outside of Kitchen Notes, right in the main lobby when you walk in. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the station on the ones and twos. And JoJo, we are excited. We got a very special show planned. We're going to spend the entire first hour with Coach Jeff Fisher. The Nashville Cats are in the playoffs. They're going to host the game in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena. And then Chris Massaro, the athletics director at MTSU, will join us in the 10 o'clock hour. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Let's start off. The coach is with us today. Coach, good to see you. What an exciting time for the Nashville Cats. What an exciting time for you.
Well, it is. And I just want to thank you guys for everything that you did, especially last weekend. You know, the great job you guys did on the broadcast and everything there. And yeah, here we go again. It's crazy. You know, we were sitting there waiting, you know, waiting to see what was going to happen, knowing that if Salina was able to pull that win off, then we would be back. And, oh, my gosh, that thing came right down to the end, just like it did, you know, a week ago when they matched up. I think a week ago it was 65-63, and this last with the kick, the game-winning kick, it ended up being 53-52 or something like that. It was a great game. So that got us back-to-back weekends in Clarksville. And believe it or not, there's an outside chance that we could go back-to-back-to-back.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so it's been a fun couple weeks. Everything went really well up there. You know, the guys play good, everything. You know, there was really no distractions. And, you know, Clarksville welcomed us with open arms. And so, you know, we're just kind of – right now we're doing the same thing we did last week. It's just a little bit easier because we've been there, done that kind of thing. So a lot of interest up there. And so, yeah, things are shaping up. So we just have to – again, we're going to wait. Salina's at Albany on Saturday. And so we'll know what's in store, you know, going into the game, you know, what happens.
The score, 80-18, I mean, just an absolute domination. And we kind of looked at each other at the end of the first quarter of like, oh, this could get out of hand. What does that do, though, confidence-wise for a team when you just know you're pretty much in control the whole way?
Well, it was really good for Coach Arbet's team, I mean, to get up and, you know, be in control, because then what happens is they, you know, it's football. You're going to start doing some things, showing some things, putting some things on tape, and, you know, for the next week to kind of just, you know, distract and disorient, you know, the game plan thing for your opponents. But, you know, the good side is the 80. The hard side was the other one. I purposely, when the game was over, I went into the Corpus locker room and I wanted to make sure that their staff and their players knew how much that we appreciated what they had been through. It was
sure.
A tough time early on in the season, and you know their players were disappointed. They didn't want to end up, you know, the season that way. But you know, just kind of reassured them that there's a great future ahead here in 26, and you know, stay in touch and stay tuned, and you know, and so appreciate their effort. And that's, you know, in our league we've got, you know, we got eight teams, and you know, four teams are watching and four teams are going on, but the four teams that are watching contributed as much to the season as those that are in the, you know, in the playoffs. So you know, that's why they call it a league. But yeah, I was really pleased. I mean, you know, you needed to win that game to, you know, to have a chance to get in, and it was a decisive win, as you guys saw. We kind of scored every way you could, and
right.
You know, yeah, which is crazy. I mean, it just happens. You know, it happens fast.
Yeah,
especially inside of that 1 minute break before the end of the second period.
So when I was thinking about this interview and kind of like looking up some stuff, I kind of had one of those really moments. 99 was the first time you coached a team in the playoffs, correct?
Yes.
Because you had the 3 years of 8-8 and kind of building up to that. And so that was my moment of like, man, they didn't get to the playoffs until they became the Titans. What do you remember about walking into the stadium, that first playoff game? You know, you guys have kind of shocked some people at that point. Do you remember kind of those feelings, what you went through
as
a coach?
Yeah, I remember everything about it like it was yesterday. You know, my big thing, I mean – obviously we got on a roll, undefeated at home, and, you know, and set up the playoff thing, and we had a pretty good record for the division. And
yeah,
but we didn't win the division. We had to play the wild card game. So, but I knew that the hardest game in the playoff run was going to be the first one, just because we didn't have the playoff experience on the roster. We had very few guys on the roster that had been in playoffs before. And so it wasn't like I could reach out to Eddie or reach out to Steve and go, hey, man, let's share about our experiences and how things change. Because you have, you know, you have these jumps in the NFL. You have this tremendous jump from preseason to regular season, the tempo, the intensity, and so on and so forth. Well, you also have another jump from regular season to playoff football in the NFL. And so I wanted them to understand, did the best we could. It was just a kind of a settle down moment and, hey, just do your job kind of thing. I mean, you got Javon Kirsten there that's played 16 games in the NFL, you know, and, you know, obviously he was a big factor in that game because it, I think he was the reason that they changed quarterbacks and got away from Flutie and went to Johnson. But anyway, that was a big concern. And I told the guys going into that game, this is going to be the hardest one. And then so we come off of this euphoria after, you know, when the game's over. And, oh, where are we going now? Oh, guess what? We're going up to Indy.
Yep.
You know, and we're going to play the team that won our division, and then we go up there, and good things happened up there. And then by the time, you know, that thing was over and the way everything, you know, just all the enthusiasm. I'll never forget, you know, this was back, you know, before, you know, the 9/11. It was, I mean, the airport was just jammed with people as we got off the airplane and everybody all over the place. And so that became, you know, that week in the Jacksonville Championship week, it was just one bang, bang, bang. And, you know, we got down there and took care of business. And then go figure it followed suit with the rest of the three previous weeks. We got to play Super Bowl a week after the championship game.
Which they've
the
never
last
done.
Time.
That's right.
The last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and a lot of people forget about that because, you know, that was, I mean, it was a challenge. I mean, you finish, you win the championship game on the road. And now previously, I mean, that week, we sent our advance crew and everybody, as did Jaguars, down to Atlanta, and everybody was kind of doing the advance thing, hotels and all that stuff. And so we had things in place. We took a back seat to Coughlin's crew because they were, like, throwing elbows and say, well, no, we don't need to do it that way. Coach Coughlin wants it this way.
Yeah.
You know, every time, every step our crew took, our advanced crew took, that's what they faced. Even the point Saturday night before the kickoff, Saturday night before the championship game at Jacksonville, I found out that they had their Jacksonville Jaguar decals on the rent-a-car fleet already before we played the game. So that was a no-brainer. Oh, guys, I forgot to tell you that, you know, in the team meeting, you know, and there's like you just could feel this emotion kind of, and that was a big thing, was just kind of channel it. But and then, of course, we win the game. We come back here. You remember, we're through the stadium and back at the facility at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and we're leaving the next morning, and you got to address tickets, you got to address family, you got to address everything, and on top of that, we had injuries. You know, we had a couple injuries in the game. Marcus couldn't finish. We ended up knowing that we were going to start. Anthony Dorsett was going to start. Just all kinds of stuff going on, but you know, and we had planned on. I had to go down with the team, and so we turned right back around on Monday. Went down. I left the coaches behind, and the coaches game planned Monday and Tuesday, and they flew down Tuesday night, and we installed Wednesday. I mean, it was a blur.
It was
the last time it happened.
You know? Yeah, that's right. It's
there was a blizzard or a snowstorm or ice storm.
Ice storm. My gosh, it was. I talked to somebody. You know, you cross paths with a lot of somebody up in Clarksville last week. One of the fans said that he was down there and, you know, did this and did that and was, you know, kind of – he said to me he was at the opener, the Cincinnati opener, 99 against Cincinnati when we opened at that time Adelphia. And Jeff Blake was on freaking fire, and we couldn't. I mean, it was a rough go. And then Jeff Blake, because it was a hot September afternoon, end up leaving the game at in the midway through the fourth quarter because he was cramping. And then we kind of work our way back into position, and we were down 9 with 4 minutes left, and our 9, Steve, put 10 points on the board, and we beat Cincinnati to, you know, in the inaugural game there that to set off the undefeated.
Did Achilles Smith come in?
That nice. I think that was. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That was a good pull, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you weren't even looking down.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, yeah,
that
was Achilles.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I think there's so many people my age, my generation, that we might have been young. We remember that season.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I remember just about every step of the way with that season. And it's funny, in talking to Derek and kind of living it through his eyes now, yeah, I asked him about the Jacksonville game. He's like, man, we knew we were going to win. They were doing this whole, like, can't beat a good team three times. And we had Keenan McCardell on a few years ago, and he was like, yeah, we thought we were just, you know, y'all had gotten us in the regular season. We were going to get it. And so I asked Derek, I'm like, when did it kind of set in that it was real? He said, remember when I ran that safety kick back?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
it was.
Was that kind of the moment when you knew?
I was waiting because the rules have changed. We had a – We had some influence on the rule change, but at that time, I mean, that was pretty much it. Coughlin, they just kind of went in. That was it, you know. And so they could have made us. And then we took an intentional safety, I think. But
well, because didn't Eddie? I think Eddie fumbled on the goal line.
Yeah,
they got it, and they were on the one, and then. And
yeah, but
you guys
but after an intentional, you take an intentional safety. It's a free kick, and you know basically at that time the rules said all you got to do is kick it. We could kick it off out of bounds, and the game's over. But there was the end of the game, whatever it was. I'll have to go back and check now. But Coach Coughlin had an opportunity to get another play, and he didn't. He was just like, okay, this is done. We're done. But that was a huge play, Dee Mace's. Return after their safety. So, never forget it. And you know what? It's interesting, you know, and he probably told you, we prepare all those things for every single moment that happened, from the Music City Miracle to that return and executing those things. And it's just, it just showed you how locked in that group of guys were.
Oh, yeah.
They were locked in.
You have one of the best lines of all time asking, and that season asked about all the places you've played. And you said, yeah, we got a bunch of home stadiums, Astrodome, Liberty Bowl, Vanderbilt, Adelphia, and Alltel Stadium.
Well, you know what? This is how it happened. I had been asked, and so go back to the Super Bowl week. It's a blur. We get there Monday, press conference each day, people asking all these questions. And I probably was asked 10 times during the week leading up to Friday, hey, Coach, what's it like playing in all these home venues? And, you know, in the last whatever period of time. So I was done answering the question. Well, I was at the Friday press conference that was going to be done for the up until after the game. And you stand there, you know, that's where you take the picture with the trophy and all that kind of stuff. And we went to questions and we took a bunch of questions. And there's one more question for the coach. And the last question is, yeah, Steve, what's it like to play in three different home venues in 3 years?
Steve
and,
Fisher.
Yeah, and I said, well, my name's Jeff. This is at the Super Bowl press conference. I'm Jeff over here, you know? And he's like, and I get it because he might have been from San Diego. Steve was a great basketball coach and was kind of,
right.
I mean, winning games and doing his thing too. So I get that part. But so I said my name was Jeff. And then I just said, actually, it's four different home venues if you would include Alltel Stadium.
Great line.
And, man, what the repercussions of that even now, if I go into Jacksonville, it's like, you know, it's the same thing. But, you know, Buffalo's famous when you go into Buffalo in that stadium because their fans are lined up for a half a mile as its buses come in and the I don't know why the parents do this, why I wouldn't allow my grandkids to do this, but the parents teach their kids to hold their middle fingers up at a really early age at the visiting bus.
Yes.
As the buses come in. Well, that's the way it was every time we came into Jacksonville after that. I mean, every year, mm-hmm. I mean, it was like there were people all over, but they loved it. And then I went down and I kind of blew people away. I went down and supported one of Coach Coughlin's big charities golf tournament for cancer. And people were surprised to see me down there. But, you know, it was a great fan base and a great rivalry. And, I mean, those guys – I mean, we got one of them here in town, Reggie Barlow, man. Reggie's coaching here, former Jags, you know. He's coaching at TSU now. So, it was really fun. It was fun for me because 95 was their inaugural season, and that was my first year as head coach. We drafted Steve. Coughlin's got expansion draft. He's picking twice at the beginning of one at the first round, and then he gets to pick twice again at the end. And the league gave them a really, really good chance, them and Carolina, to put together a roster.
Yeah.
You know, with protecting players here and this and that and all this stuff. So they put together a really good roster. And I had such great respect for Mark Brunell and, you know, and the big tight end. And everybody there, I mean, Fred, I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, how are you going to stop Fred? Well, okay, well, we're going to do what we've proven to be the case is we're just going to let him bust one for about 80 because he's not in really good shape. And after he has this 80-yard touchdown run, he'll be breathing hard the rest of the day. We could hold him under 3 yards of carry, you know. It's like, but it was those were some fun times, man.
We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just outside of Kitchen Oaks, with Jeff Fisher of the Nashville Cats, telling some stories, talking Cats football. Is there in the playoffs? We'll have more with Coach Fisher coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thorpe in motion again. There's the snap. It's a quick pass complete to Jackson. Jackson goes upfield and into the end zone for a touchdown.
What a great play. I almost thought it was a lateral, so I almost thought he was going to do like a throwback to Cook across the field, but he saw an open seam, cut up.
Yep.
Here's the deal. Here's what Nashville Cats are doing that Corpus Christi's not doing. The receivers were blocking down the field. He found a seam into the end zone. Oh, this crowd's loving it. 22-0 now, Nashville Cats.
That's how we sounded last week on 93.3.
I thought it was John Madden and Summerall.
I thought you guys were bringing back highlights from 99.
Live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chasing Big Joe. Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. I will tell you this, and again, I was, you know, going through that season. To this day, whenever I meet a diehard Buffalo Bills fan, you know, we'll talk ball. And at the end of the conversation, I'll go, it was a lateral, just so you know.
Right.
And they'll still argue, it was a forward pass. I mean, it's still, to this day, one of the most argued plays of all time.
Oh,
but
man. I mean, I spoke last fall out at a special ops on a military base and regarding some topics, and it was really cool. And I had a hand go up in the air. I mean, this is a special ops dude, you know, kind of thing. And, yeah, it wasn't a freaking ladder. Well, okay. Yeah, it was really close. Yeah, maybe you can tell the difference with that scope that you use. But, yeah, it was crazy.
I love watching that Wade Phillips reaction because he was convinced that was a forward pass. Yeah. He was calm, like, oh, they're going to bring this back and everything.
Yeah.
And the second they said – it was a lateral. They cut to it, and he was just, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that game was over in their mind. And I'll never forget the head linesman on the throw, you know, because, I mean, you guys know the story. I mean, Kevin Dyson was number three in the depth chart on
Derek,
the play.
Derek and then
Anthony Dorsett.
Anthony Dorsett,
Derek was out. He had a concussion.
Yeah, Derek doesn't remember any of that.
No, he doesn't. Like he had a concussion. Because when they kicked the field goal, I go, Alan and I were like, okay, here we go. Home run throwback. Yeah, baby, let's go. And I'm yelling, all right, where's Mace? And trainer goes, Coach, he's somewhere next week. He's got a concussion. I go,
he's back in East Lansing.
Yeah, I go, well, all right, wait, who's AD? And Alan goes, AD. I go, AD, get over here. And Brad, our trainer, goes, he's cramping, coach. I go, freaking cramping. It's 50 degrees out. What are you? So now it's like I'm just Dyson's walking by. Kevin, hey, come here. And it's like, yeah, coach. Da-da-da. He's kind of, yeah, what's up? Well, home run throwback. Practice it every Saturday. I need you to be the deep guy right now. Well, coach, I really never paid attention. So now it's like, okay, and Kevin, he'll twist the story around a little bit, but okay, all you got to do, okay, we're somehow, some way, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but we're going to get the ball to Frank, okay? So you need to be opposite Frank, okay? And Frank's probably is going to drift to his right. You need to be opposite Frank, and you need to be 5 yards behind him, and you need to be on the numbers, okay? Then he's kind of looking at me. The numbers is like 10, 20. I got you, coach. I got you, coach. Okay, all right, good, Kev. Let's go. Let's go do it. So 5 yards. Behind Frank, turned into 5 inches, but he was on the number. And I said, "Then now has it happened?" And so Byron Boston's the line judge, and as soon as, you know, first off, we never practiced that kick. We practiced 4 or 5 different kicks every Saturday, starting when the regular season started. Didn't want to show the play to before you got down your final cut. But every Saturday we would have different kicks. We'd have a grounder over here and a grounder over there and then one over here and then a deep one there and try to hit somebody with, just so everybody understood, because it was free for all. Basically, you got to simplify it and go get the ball to Frank, push the ball to the away from our sideline and find the way to get the ball to Frank. And so everybody knew you got to get the ball to Frank. So anyway, I didn't think to hit a pooch to Lorenzo
right
all year. I mean, what are you gonna pooch it for?
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense. Well, I mean, when the ball went up, I went, oh, my gosh, what a low. I thought he was going to fair catch it. You know, there was the potential for right. that moment right. in time. I'm thinking, oh, dude, he's going to.
He tells it a little different.
Does he?
Oh, he says, like, well, now the play was that yeah. either I could catch it or Frank could catch it. And I could throw it or, you know, I just decided to hand it to Frank.
No, we didn't work that. And I guarantee.
D-Base goes, that was not the play. That was not how it goes.
Oh, man. So anyway, yeah. So then so I see him get it, and he knew he would get rid of that rock as fast as he could. Yeah. He didn't want any part of that. And then, when I saw him get the ball to Frank and saw Frank turn his shoulders, get ball back to Kevin, I want to make sure the ball was clean. It was caught. I mean, he caught it.
Yeah.
But then I saw Byron point backwards. So when he pointed backwards, I was okay. That's cool. That part of it's over now. What, you know, now it's kind of like get what you can, get up, get out of bounds. You know, it was like
right.
that kind of thing.
Yeah, he didn't have to necessarily score.
No,
because you had 16 yeah. seconds on the clock.
Yeah,
so you like, had some time.
Yeah, and I'm like, because they're past me now, and I'm going, oh shit, get out of bounds. No man, there's nobody there. You know? So then you know, because I had seen Byron point rule a lateral. Figured it was going to be hard to overturn. The crazy part about it is, do the math now. What's the score right now? Before
16-15, right? No.
What? Right after the touchdown, after we scored, we hadn't kicked the extra point yet. They're ruling on replay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was a 5-point differential, right?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. What does any elementary school Gopher 2 chart say? If you're up by 5,
go for two.
Yeah. So that's in my mind. I'm going through that, and there was no way. I thought once they come back from review and rule that the rule on the field stands, that I was going to be able to execute an offensive play in the moment. Couldn't think we would actually be able to execute and score and complete a 2-point conversion. And then I went, shit, and the odds of this happening again, and shit, there's no time left on this, are slim and none, and so I kicked the extra point.
Yeah.
So you remember what happened on when we kicked off?
I don't remember any of this.
They pushed the ball right to midfield.
Yeah,
my
that's
heart
right.
was in my throat. So,
they were doing the same thing, lateral,
they did, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an emotional moment where things after that could go you know, desperately wrong. And so we made the play, and oh my gosh, that was it. But so yeah, there was some stuff going on in my brain.
Right. We interviewed Jaworski after the game.
Yeah.
Who was on the call and said, "What did you see?" "Oh, we knew it was a forward pass.
He goes, who said that?
Jaworski. This is after we interviewed him after the game.
Oh, I thought it was Mike Patrick and Theismann.
He didn't say on the air. He's like, "We knew it was a forward pass." He goes, "But you go back and look." He goes, "We realized that was a legal play." He goes, "We all thought in the booth that was a forward pass." He goes, "We go back," and that's when Jaworski said, "I think you guys are calling it the Music City Miracle or something." He goes, "This will be a play, I'm telling you right now, talked about for generations."
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know Ron Jaworski was 6'4". So anyway, that's the second part of the story.
Who said he was 6'4"?
He's tall. He's taller than I am.
What? No. No.
He's tall, dude.
You got him confused with somebody else?
Are you thinking of Theismann?
No, Jaworski.
No.
We talked to him after the game on the sidewalk outside.
Because Theismann was on the call.
I was with the Philadelphia Eagles when Ron Jaworski.
I know, right?
Yeah, and Randall Cunningham were our two quarterbacks in 1986, and Randall and Buddy would send Randall in on third down and be a third down quarterback.
I just thought he was small.
No, he's not 6'4". He's probably.
He was a lot 6'1". Bigger than I thought.
Okay. Were you on your knees?
Alex from Nashville on our text line. Does Coach know where the ball is from the Music City Miracle? I think Floyd had it, right?
That I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope for the fact that Floyd did have it.
And I'm pretty sure
that Sally has it and the family has it. I hope they do.
You know? Because when I went to their house when Floyd passed,
right.
He had a bunch of footballs, and I'm pretty sure that was one of them.
Yeah,
so I think Sally.
I hope they do.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's definitely one.
What's your most cherished football thing that you've been given?
Oh man. Well, I would say a copy of the letter that the 84 Bears defense wrote to Papa Bear Hallis, and we all signed to get Coach Hallis to consider keeping Buddy Ryan.
Oh, wow.
And the defensive staff.
Ooh.
Wow.
I got a copy of that letter. So, that was crazy. What, you know, just that. That and that moment in time in history, it was. So I think I'm not a collectible, you know, I just don't keep things, you know. I actually started, when I went down to Tom Coughlin's golf tournament, I was down there and they were selling Masters flags signed by different Masters winners, and I was looking at one of them, and this really nice lady came up and she said, "Are you a collector?" And I go, "No." And I said, "Well, that's really, really cool. I think it might have been VJ or one of Tiger's earlier ones." And she goes, "Well, if you want to start collecting, I'm on with the tour. I'll get everybody sign this." So I go, "Yes, ma'am." So I have.
That's cool.
I've got some of those, a lot of Masters flags signed by winners, but not recent, not current. But that's really pretty much
Let me ask you this. Did the letter work?
Yes. Oh, well, yeah.
Did Hallis over tell Ditka, keep Buddy Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's wild.
That was the rift. That was you can understand. You got Mike's coming in and Mike the way he was and, you know, coming off out of Dallas and that special teams coach and the tight end coach and his first opportunity, he's going to bring his staff in. And so that was the understanding that he keep Buddy in the defensive staff. So that day one, there was friction, but there was also respect on both sides. But there, you know, there was I could step between them so many times on the sideline.
Right.
I had Buddy's freaking headphones. He threw them on the ground and was chasing Mike down the sideline, and I got his headphones and his wire, and I'm chasing him down the sideline. This was in 85, you know, when I was hurt. And all kinds of crazy stuff.
So when they carried Buddy off with Ditka, how was that received afterwards? Did Ditka care? Did Buddy care? Because they carried both coaches off.
It was pretty cool. The night before, there was the defensive guys. There may have been an offensive guy or two that jumped in and lifted. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't see either of it, but I was trying to find the locker room. So, but I think the defensive guys lifted Buddy up because they knew the night before that there was a chance, a really, really good chance that Buddy wasn't going to be back because Buddy told them in so many words. And I was in the meeting. And
wow.
Steve McMichael, who we just lost recently, what a gentle giant and amazing man. Steve, when Buddy was done talking to the defense, stood up and knocked the projector off of the table and threw a chair through the chalkboard, and the chair stuck. The legs stuck in the chalkboard, and that was the end of the defensive meeting. And this is the night before the game, and I'm just kind of going, you know, New England really doesn't know what's going to happen to them tomorrow because this defense is ready to play.
Wow, a story.
Cool.
We're live today at the Omni National Hotel. Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. We'll come back with more, including talking about some Cats, the playoff game coming up in Clarksville. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
And the ensuing free kick, which of course is a punt off, Derek Mason makes 2 points. 9 points. He could go all the way, 80 yards, like they did against Buffalo. Really a 9-point play, Tom. It's now a big 26-14 lead.
Was that the championship game, Dr. Green? 2000? Oh, that was 2000. Okay. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coach Jeff Fisher is hanging out with us. We love story time with Coach, but
woo!
Nashville Cats in Clarksville again for the playoffs. I know this is a big deal because Joe and I have talked about it all week. The atmosphere was so much fun on Saturday. Now you take it up a notch for playoffs. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, and we're hoping that happens.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of, you know, in the indoor world, you know, really all you have to do is go to the first game. Just go to one because mm-hmm. then you'll come back.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think we had a lot of first-timers there that came back. And there were a lot of you know, I think second-generation Cat fans there and just people curious. But so we're expecting it to outdo what it did last weekend. And, everything, you know, went according to plan. I mean, the arena is fabulous. I mean, you know, I mean, and as you guys, you could see, I mean, everything about it is brand new. And so it just fits. I mean, you'd like maybe that the score, that hanging board would be maybe about 10 feet higher. But that's part of the arena football, you know. He still could kick his deuce.
Yeah.
You know, he just hit that one a little bit higher, you know. And so – so everything works, the locker rooms and it's the visiting teams too. I mean, they really appreciate that. And, you know, Southwest Kansas has got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality is our opponent's got a 13-hour bus ride.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the NFL where you fly first class.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's get there however you can and save as much money as you can along the way. And so, and then clubs reciprocate on the road. And so it's our responsibility to provide them hotel rooms and meals and things like that. And we have great people here, namely Jeff Roy, supporting both teams, you know, as going into the game, pregame and postgame. So, it's a good it's a good deal all around. So, you know, we're reaching out, and you know, Greg Pogue has done a fabulous job on the operations side. You know, it's amazing what goes into it, and having not done it and to be where he is with respect to everything, he nails everything and is ahead of. You know, you always have to stay around the corner. You know, you got to anticipate, you got to make the turn,
yep.
and be sure about what's on the after you make the turn. So, so we're going to take care of them well, and it's a good football team.
So you know? There's a tailgate, 2 o'clock tailgate party.
Yeah, we got a tailgate party up there, 2 o'clock, right across the street. The mayor is putting that on for us. There'll be live music and food trucks and all kinds of stuff, entertainment going on up there, right across the street from the F&M Bank Arena. At 2 o'clock, kickoff 4:30, and there we go.
And the city, I mean, the mayor's gotten behind it. The people've gotten behind it. I mean, I'm telling you, and Chase and I talked about this, Coach. I mean, it was wonderful. Saturday's wonderful. And I think Sunday could be better than how great it was on Saturday.
The mayor, we had a press conference up there on Tuesday, just kind of a meet and greet thing, and we had Coach up there and everybody up there, and the mayor was there, and man, I mean, he wanted to grab you by the back of the shirt and drag you around town and introduce you to everybody. You know, he's a great man, and you know, he was, you know, he was one now that there's a lot going on last week, but the mayor was actually the one that told me that he was at the opener of the 99 season. So and he remembers cool. that game like it was yesterday. So, yeah, they're bending over backwards right now. So we got all kinds of merch, tickets on sale, Ticketron, and I don't know, you guys know the specifics on that, NashvilleCats.com.
Yep, NashvilleCats.com is the easiest place to go.
Yeah, go get your tickets and come up and – you know, there's going to be pregame festivities. You know, we had a really cool little girls' flag football game going on at halftime last week. I met one of the coaches. He was elated just to be a part of it. His daughter is a senior, and she got a scholarship to a small program, a small college program, playing flag football. Well, come on. Let's have some more of that.
Yeah, you know? Crowd loved that. I mean, you guys did it when you were at Municipal. You had the flag football game. That was wonderful. Why do you think, Coach, it's working in Clarksville?
Well, it worked here, too. I mean, it's not that it didn't work here at Municipal. We just had, you know, at Municipal, it was Mother's Day, or there was so much else going on, you know, and then we didn't get the – you know, the ideal time slots that fit game-wise and things like that. It worked here. I mean, we had – I mean, in our game here, our last game here, we had short – just it was 3,900 people there.
That's right.
And so, you know, so it's working. It's just – I think you see – you've got the – it's the only thing in town now, in addition to Austin Peay, and they're really, I mean, that's a storied sports program. They got a great sports, you know, department and everything. So, but that's pretty much it. And then, so now, and you've got the base, and people are starting to relate to this. And you imagine next preseason having a preseason game between the Cats and the base team?
Yeah. It'll be kind of fun.
Indoor?
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah, there's all kinds of fun stuff going on up there. And, you know, and we're so appreciative of Clarksville. I mean, my big experience in Clarksville was, I think it was 04. We took the team up to Austin Peay, and we stayed up there. We had training camp up there. It was Vince's rookie year, and we had training camp up there and had a blast and did a bunch of things with the base.
Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. I am curious of when the kicker – hit the scoreboard, did you have some flashbacks to playing in the Dallas Stadium for the first time when was it AJ Trapasso, I think, hit it?
Yes, that's right.
In the preseason? It was the first.
It was Hendrick.
They both may have hit it. I don't remember.
Well, Hendrick was banging it up, was hitting them, and, you know, he's hitting it in the warm-ups.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was an issue that came up. I remember we had to – the competition committee had to sit down and we had to write a rule, you know. so we did. We had to write a rule. I mean, it's basically you're going to have to replay the down and out.
Yeah.
If there's a penalty on the play, how should you enforce a penalty, you know, and all those kind of things. So any structure, you know, so the rule went in that we got structure. But so I took the Rams to London to Twickenham and against the Giants. And it was a close game. It was, you know, a 6-point game, I think. Can't remember now, but it was maybe 4-point game, whatever. But anyway, we got Case Keenum under center. Case back foot hits. I'm looking at the coverage going, we got a chance here. And see, that ball goes up in the air, and it's a touchdown pass. And then all of a sudden, our receiver is just like, he can't find the ball. And the ball lands on the ground, incomplete, and I'm kind of going, oh, my God, well, you can't find the ball, track the ball, catch the ball. Get on the plane, watching the game, and I won't come to the play. The ball hits the Skycam camera.
Oh, wow.
Did nobody call it dead?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't know it at the time, and that is a reviewable play.
Uh-huh.
You know, the league should have called down and said, hey, they missed it. but it hits the Skycam camera and knocked the ball slightly off flight. And so, yeah, and so, and we lost the game. I mean, if it doesn't hit the cable.
Right.
If it not the camera, did I say camera? I meant cable.
Cable.
It hit the cable, and if it doesn't hit the cable, we might win this
How
game.
How high did Keenum throw the ball?
Oh, no, it was like, this is the first game that they had first of the NFL games from Twickenham. So you got a new environment. Yeah. You got a new ops department, new production people there that aren't used to doing it. The cable got low, and the ball hit it. So the ball hits the cable. We lose the game. And you lose a game in the NFL, you get butt gets fired. So I got fired because the ball hit the cable.
Oh, that was your last game?
Yeah. No, I had a few more after that.
Yeah.
Real quick, Dale's asking, will you explain the Bill Cowher broken ankle thing? Did he break your ankle or did you break Bill Cowher's ankle or leg or whatever?
I was returning a punt in Philadelphia. I had just stepped up as a starting free safety for Buddy and the Bears, and I was returning a punt, and because Fensick went down, and I had to go back and just handle it because the guy we had was having trouble making decisions. I went back and fielded a punt and tried to get whatever I could and get down. Coach said, "Don't get hurt." I tried to get up, and I spun a little bit, and one of the cover guys kind of caught me, tackled me, and then another guy came, just totally out of control, really unathletic, bad football player, totally out of control, and just took everybody's legs out. That was Cowher. And and everybody got up and went to the bench except me. So he broke my ankle. So, I mean, my fibula wasn't ankle. But I was back in six. It was in the season. But, yeah, so, yeah, Bill actually broke my ankle in a game in which we played against each other. And that pissed me off because I had a chance to start.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, like, guys, this is my chance. The fencing is going to be down for a month. I got a chance to play some ball rather than sub and play special teams. And so, yeah, so he broke it. So, you know, do you guys have any idea what the last thing I said to my teams as we before we played the Pittsburgh Steelers was, guys, oh, by the way, remember, if any of your guys are going out of bounds and you're a little out of control, as you go out of bounds on their sideline and you happen to see the head coach, it's okay if you hit him in the leg. It's okay if you go low. But
payback.
Payback, yeah.
Bounties.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Oh, I see what you did there. We will come back and wrap things up with Coach Jeff Fisher next, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Bear punt returner Jeff Fisher made Tampa Bay's afternoon go quickly downhill.
.25, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live with
Fisher's
the Omni Nashville.
Fisher's 88-yard return was 1 yard shy of the Bear record, but long enough
Look
to notch
you,
a 28-17 Bear victory and give Chicago their first win of the year.
You beat Tampa Bay, Coach, on a punt
Tampa
return.
Tampa Bay ran right by Coach McKay.
Yeah. A little nostalgia there. Continue with Coach Jeff Fisher. Real quick, before we turn things over to Chris Massaro, NashvilleCats.com, that's where you can go get your tickets. It's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. It'll be on Vice. Is that right?
That's
if you
correct.
Can't make it, and then you can obviously listen to us on 93.3. We'll have pregame at 4, the kick at 4:30.
Yeah,
and
so
there's a tailgate and all that.
Tailgate parties getting going, you know, about 2 o'clock, and right there across from the F&M Bank Arena, a lot of stuff going on.
So what do you need Sunday from the people?
We just want a lot of people there, and we just want them to get behind the team like you ordinarily would do. Make it hard on them. Make it hard for them to hear. You know, there's no rules, you know. I mean,
right
now you can play whatever, whenever you want, and, you know, we'll get to that down the line. But this is this wide-open game. I want people just to come in there and watch it, those for the first time, because I really – it's a feel-good thing for me when people come in and have fun and want to come back and do it again, and that's what's going to happen.
Love it.
Yep. Thank you.
Coach, thanks so much for doing this. We're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday and then more story time with
more
Coach Fisher.
More story time next week. Win That's or right. lose, how about that?
Love it.
We love it.
Okay. Yeah, thank cool. you.
Story Thanks. Time with Uncle Jeff. We'll call it that.
I love it.
Coming up next, Chris Massaro, the AD of MTSU, is going to join us. We're going to spend an hour with him here on Chasing Big Joe at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.